Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
I started off just being trying to avoid sugar.
Yeah.
And then I looked at everything else.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? I can't even pronounce that, let alone like put it in my body and think it's actually going to do anything good.
Hey everyone, it's Dr. Mark. You know by now that I'm all about using the healing power of food to create your best life ever. Unfortunately, we're living in a convenience food trap. Everywhere we turn, we're inundated with food-like substances that have destroyed our health. Now, these Frankenfoods, or as I like to call them, started taking over the market over the past couple of decades, and as a result, we've seen chronic disease skyrocket. That's why I get so excited to share information about high-quality, nutrient-dense, sustainably sourced products with you. I was recently introduced to this company called Starseed. Now, their products are derived from the ancient Sacha Inchi seed, which looks like stars and are found in the Amazonian rainforest. They're naturally gluten-free and also nut-free for those with sensitivities. The Sacha Inchi seeds are a source of plant-based complete protein with a healthy dose of fiber. They're also an amazing source of essential omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants. Lately, I've been loving drizzling their Sacha Inchi omega oil over roasted veggies and quinoa to add a subtle nutty flavor to a super simple healthy dish. And their butters are a creamy, satiating, nourishing treat too. You just need the squeeze pouch to eat or add to your smoothie to help fuel your day. I also love that Starseed is committed to ensuring their products are organic, fair trade, and sustainably harvested on small regenerative farms, something we should all support. Right now, Starseed has an exclusive offer for my amazing podcast community. Save 20% on your order at amazon.com/starseed by using the code 20MarkHyman at checkout. That's 20MarkHyman, M-A-R-K-H-Y-M-A-N, that's me. And I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing offer from Starseed and try their seeds, oils, and butters. Now let's get back to today's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Hi, I'm Kaya Perowit, one of the producers of The Doctor's Pharmacy podcast. We are all programmed to like sugar, and having a sugar addiction is not a moral failing, nor is it due to lack of willpower. Unfortunately, we live in a society in which your hormones, taste buds, and brain chemistry have been hijacked by the food industry, and it's making us sick. Earlier this year, Dr. Hyman sat down with actors Keegan Allen and Tom Hopper, who each overcame their own health and weight issues by breaking their sugar addictions.
I had a friend who was worked in the Obama administration in charge of the food programs and the food labeling, and he's like, the food companies don't want to have sugar listed as the number one ingredient on the label.
Yeah.
So they'll put five different kinds of sugar because the list of ingredients is in order of the amount.
Yeah.
Right. But if you have, let's say, you know, wheat as the first ingredient, and then you have like five kinds of sugar, actually sugar is the most predominant ingredient. They just, because they don't call it, you know, sugar, or they don't have the same kinds of sugar. It's just a loophole in the law that allows the food companies to get away with bamboozling us.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bad. And then I was shopping the other day. I was in CVS and getting something, I don't know what, and I looked over and I saw this big freezer of Haagen-Dazs ice cream, and I have a weakness for Haagen-Dazs ice cream, but I don't eat that often. And they said it's non-dairy Haagen-Dazs. I'm like, oh, cool. And I walked over and I pull it out. It says plant-based, gluten-free, dairy-free. And I'm like, oh, this is health food, right? Turn the label over and it's like high fructose corn syrup and processed ingredients. And I'm like, what is this?
But this is one thing I wanted to ask you then. As a doctor, someone that does this, as an advocate, goes around and travels and talks to everybody. What would you say to the younger generation if they want to start somewhere? What's the first step to really recognizing, not just like reading labels, but what is the real first step that can be a tangible first step for someone who maybe lives in rural America? I mean, Lenox, I've been to Lenox before. I've been there. I know what that place is like. I'm surprised that you came out of Lenox and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do this and bring it to the world.
Yeah.
What was it in your journey that was the first step?
Well, I used to be vegetarian too. And I loved sugar and starch and bread and pasta. You know, I bought into the whole low fat movement.
And you were doing it for health reasons? You were vegetarian because you thought that was healthier?
Yes, health reasons, yes. And I thought this was the way to go. And you know, it's interesting now that I've sort of cleaned up my diet and got rid of the starch and the sugar for the most part. You know, if I look at pictures of myself without a shirt when I'm 30, I'm like way scrawnier and like kind of flabbier than I am today at 60.
Right.
And I don't do that much exercise. You know, like if I'm in the gym like five times a month weightlifting, that's a lot.
Right.
You know, I do yoga, I'll do other stuff, but I just, you know, just
because I'm busy. I'm planning on doing more.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
I'll get you to help me. But you look like you know what you're doing. Then I got very sick, and I started to sort of look at what I was doing, and had to sort of shift. And as the science changed, I began to sort of look at, you know, because I think ideology is so problematic in nutrition. There are all these diet wars. There are all these people in conflict with each other, paleo, vegan, this, that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy because...
A lot of little religions, aren't they?
Yeah. It is. But, you know, I say, let's get away from that because, you know, I came up with this term pegan, which is a joke.
Yeah,
like paleo, vegan.
Yeah.
And I just published this book, Food Fix, and it was number one in paleo and number one in vegan books.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is good. Because we have far more in common with each other than with the standard American processed diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can be a chips and soda vegan, right? Or you can be a cheeseburger, whatever, bacon, paleo, but that's not necessarily either of them are good, right?
Yeah,
it's more going towards whole food. So your question was, what would I say to people? I think, you know, it's really easy to just sort of start simply. You know, if you're eating industrial food, like stop doing that, right? If you look at the ingredients and you see refined flour, soybean oil, or high fructose corn syrup, just don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, the next step would be look for non-GMO certified foods, right? Not because GMO, we know, is that bad for you. It may be, it may not be. There's a lot of controversy about that. But it's a form of agriculture that's destructive to the environment, and there's often other things in there like glyphosate, which is Roundup, which they spray on 70 different crops from canola to corn to wheat to soy. And that is definitely harmful for our microbiome. It destroys our gut bacteria, which affects everything. Mm-hmm. And it's linked to cancer. There was a $2 billion lawsuit that got settlement, the judgment about Roundup or glyphosate or weed killer. And so just be aware that if you just stop those things, the quality of your diet is
already making a huge difference to your body.
Yeah, whatever you do. And so those are really simple things we can do. And then if you can, try to, you know, look at what you're eating. Is it whole food? I mean, is it something you can recognize, like an almond or almond butter? It's like not that many steps of processing, because most food gets processed in some way. We cook it.
It's all got some kind of man intervention.
But if you know, most of the time I just eat stuff that looks like what it is. You know, broccoli is a broccoli. You know,
piece
of fish is a piece of fish. Grass-fed meat is
I always call it, like, what I said to him when we first started, when he was a pre-diabetic vegan sick man in Australia, I call it the of the earth diet.
Yeah.
So if you're eating stuff that's the earth naturally provides, then you're never really in harm's way,
right?
You know,
steps did it take to get from the field to the fork?
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
If you can trace them all, okay, but if you don't know how it got like that,
we got a problem. The ingredients list is your ingredient. Right, a sweet potato is a sweet potato. A piece of chicken breast is a piece of chicken breast.
Yeah, there's no ingredient list on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, it is what it is.
Right,
and I think the other thing I found as well, which is an important thing to talk about, I think, is how people who do make the shift, they have to go through a process themselves. Like I know, I went through a process where I kept going back. I kept going, I want that. That addiction to that kind of food doesn't just disappear. I didn't do it overnight.
Yeah,
my wife always says this to me. She was like, you know, when I'm talking to people saying, you just do this, you just do that. She's like, Tom, you have to remember that you took 2 years probably to just not eat any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So your taste buds have to change. Yeah. You have to give your taste buds time to make that change and really know what things taste like again. Like broccoli can taste freaking awesome.
Right. It's so true. When people get off that for a week even, and then they have blueberries, they go, my God, this is
candy.
You know, like candy, right? Yeah. And I think people don't understand how hard it is because of the biology of sugar.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a moral failing, right? It's not that you're weak-willed, but you cannot overcome your biology with willpower. It will fail every time.
Yep.
So you have to use science. And the science of sugar is fascinating because it not only drives mechanisms that make you gain weight because it produces more insulin, so it stores belly fat.
Yeah.
It makes you hungry. It slows your metabolism and it locks the fat in the fat cell so it can't get out. It's like a one-way turnstile.
Wow.
Like in a subway. Can't get out. And when you look at the biology on the brain, it's even scarier. So in really well-controlled studies, they've shown that by looking at brain imaging and blood tests, eating the exact amount of calories, protein, fat, carbs, and fiber in a shake, like a milkshake. They just swapped out the level of the kind of carbohydrate so that one raises your blood sugar a lot and one doesn't. It's like a slowly digested starch. When they did that, they found that the brain imaging showed that the addiction center, which is stimulated by heroin or cocaine or whatever, gets lit up like crazy by the sugar, and their insulin goes up, their blood sugar goes up, their adrenaline goes up. So sugar causes your adrenaline to go up, your cortisol, which is the stress hormone, so it literally creates a biologic stress.
The interesting thing, and I wanted to add, to volley this back to you then, with your immune system, sugar is not the only culprit to lowering your immune system. There are canola oils. There are what other
processes? It's also lifestyle as well. Like I find, you know, like stress fatigue. And stuff, stress and fatigue and lack of sleep are ones that can drop it for sure.
Yeah. That's that cycle. Is that like if you eat sugar, if you eat processed foods, then you don't really sleep that well. Then you don't really move that well, and it's just
Well, the other part about eating a diet of processed food and sugar is it depletes your nutrients, right? It actually doesn't have the vitamins and minerals and nutrients you need to metabolize stuff. So the people who are often the most nutritionally deficient are the most obese, which is kind of surprising. Because how can you be malnourished and obese at the same time? The nutritional density of our food is so important, and processed food just doesn't have it, and sugar depletes our nutrients like B vitamins. And so when you have low levels of zinc and you have low levels of vitamin D and low levels of omega-3 fats and low levels of iron, vitamin A, your immune system can't function. In the developing world, we know very clearly that the kids who die from diarrhea or respiratory infections or measles is because they're malnourished.
Yeah.
If a kid gets measles who's well nourished in America, they're not going to die from it usually.
Right.
But in the developing world, these kids die all the time from basic disease because they're so malnourished.
Yeah.
And I think we are a malnourished country. 90% of us are deficient. And so the best way to build your immune system is to eat whole food.
Yeah.
Cut out the sugar. Make sure you take your vitamins. Get enough sleep, like you said. Deal with stress as a huge factor. And I think, you know, I think something simple like just meditation is so powerful.
Yeah, it's a thing that
it doesn't have to be woo-woo, but it works.
We just don't talk about that enough.
People just understand. And the fact that we eat about 152 pounds of sugar per person.
Yeah.
That's almost half a pound a day
of crazy.
Sugar.
Well, it's hidden in every single thing that you could pick up. When we were at the gym, we go to the bar at the gym to have like a smoothie or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everything that is laid out that says healthy, organic, gluten-free.
Yeah. It's so counterproductive at the gym. And you know, everything you see in there, there's like signs for Coca-Cola in some gyms and stuff. And there's
awful.
You go to those like green smoothie things and you look at the label, it has more sugar than a can of Coke.
That's just insane.
Yeah.
And then people become addicted to it because they're like, well, I'm eating healthy. I'm drinking this healthy juice. But what they're doing is they're spiking their insulin levels. They're becoming addicted to this fructose almost. I'm sure that some of it maybe even is a hidden, there's so many different names for hidden sugars now.
There's like this. 200 names for sugar. If you Google names for sugar, you'll see it'll come up with a list of like 200 different things that you don't even know are sugar.
That's one of the things that started me on the journey of like, I'm just not going to eat anything that isn't whole food, because I remember thinking, well, there's all this other stuff in there now. Yeah. Like I started off just being trying to avoid sugar.
Yeah.
And then I looked at everything else.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? I can't even pronounce that, let alone like put it in my body and think it's actually going to do anything good. So I started to just go, no, I can't put that in anymore.
I mean, the average American eats 3 to 5 pounds of additives every year.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's really deliberate. And the biology of addiction in the food is not, it's not like an emotional response. It's not because you have no willpower. It really is hijacking your brain chemistry and your metabolism in ways that we don't really understand. And so I've seen people within a very short time really transform that.
The food is medicine theory. There's so much in that. And I think people can really take the steps forward in terms of a mindset. Because that's the thing, changing mindset is the first step. Like you saying this, you know, like it took a while from you and me chatting back and forth to really go, no, there is actually something in this, and changing that mindset. So once you change that mindset and just keep driving that through of food is medicine, you'll see the difference. Simple as that. It's so easy, really, when you get down the road, but you've got to put the steps in place to actually get there. And that's not easy.
You know, that's like, something I teach all the time, is that food isn't just calories, it's information. So are you upgrading your biology or downgrading it with every bite? And it affects everything, your hormones, your brain chemistry, your immune system, your microbiome. And every aspect of your health is controlled by what you're eating. Mm. And it's literally like code. So it's like you're putting in malware into your biology.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy. If you'd like to hear more about the specifics of Keegan Allen and Tom Hopper's personal health struggles and how they overcame them, I'd encourage you to check out the full-length version of this interview. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with your friends or family and leaving us a comment with your feedback. Until next time. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.